and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
What? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Now, with 45% less preparation.
No, I'm not prepared either, apparently.
See?
There.
You didn't even have my box hot. I mean, you know, pot it up on the audio board.
Your box is hot now.
Thank you. Thanks so much. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website. Well, we're just, you know what it is, Jim? It's overexcitement, because this is the day when we receive a lot of pitches for some reason.
Yes.
You got a book.
Hitler's Charisma. The Führer was a fabulous dancer. Not many people know this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Especially in the check booths. It's very hard to do that.
You do have to give him that. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Oh, so the author would like to come on of Hitler's Charisma?
Yeah.
Okay.
To tell us about Hitler's Charisma.
And then you got to pitch, give some music for
this.
It's
the life of the party. It's a Nazi party.
Because if there's one thing that we know, if we know about Chris, Jim, that we know he likes, it's life coaches.
Oh, God.
Me too. And life coaching advice. Is this an author or just a life coach?
A life coach who has pitched herself to come on and talk about weight loss.
Mm. Oh, awesome.
Yes.
Okay.
And she sent me a handy little card full of life coachy sayings.
Sayings? And are you going to post that on your refrigerator?
Oh, of course. Because I love it. Someday is not a day of the week.
That is deep.
Self-care is not a crime, but not doing so has its penalties.
Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy. Or Jackie Handy in this case.
Uh-huh.
Progress, not perfection.
Mm.
You don't drown by falling...
Wait, you need time for these to sink in.
Yeah,
so we can all thoughtfully chin scratch.
Mm.
Oh.
Okay, go ahead.
You don't drown by falling in water. You drown by staying there.
Oh. Yes.
Is it wrong
that
I want to punch her in the vajayjay?
F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Wow.
Yes. Okay.
Well, if there's a real tiger trying to bite your head off, that's...
That's
real. That's pretty real.
That is.
Not the fake one in Life of Pi, an actual one. What?
So, thank you, Lucy.
No, don't.
I just said her first name.
Let's not make fun by name.
Okay.
Just a general... I get enough of that, as we know, in spinning class.
Yes, I know.
Which I'm not really getting enough oxygen to even... I'm like, what? I can't think now. Right. You know, you didn't get up this early to compromise, and there's no recovery in this class. Recovery is staying alive.
Oh, God.
I avoid La Cienega to even avoid going past that place.
The karmic
field,
the vortex around it.
You know
life
what?
Coach is saying
there
is
another truism, and you will pay a price one day for avoiding La Cienega. Trust me.
And I live.
You might think Pico's the easy way out, but you're wrong, my friend.
And the sad thing is, I live a block from La Cienega, which really hinders things. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for your pitches.
At least it's not La Brea. You could be stuck in tar.
Thank God. I used to live a block from La Brea.
The La Brea tar pits is redundant.
Yeah, I know.
The tar pits.
The tar
pits. Yes.
All right. And this concludes L.A. Talk. Moving on. All right. We have a big show today.
We do.
We have David Schuster. We haven't talked to in a while.
I know.
Oh. And Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com. Michael Schur. We have two of our old current TV cohorts. Love Michael Schur of the Young Turks calling in today to preview the State of the Union. Is there anything more we need to know about the disarray of the Republican Party than the three responses to the state? Hey, here, a little advice. If you're trying not to look like a cluster of a party, one person say what you... Are they all going to disagree with each other, or is it...
Yeah.
Oh, he's an idiot, the last response. That's not a stupid response.
That's a stupid
response.
Here's the real one.
Mike, it is going to be like the Three Stooges. Yeah. Why, I don't think... No, get out of the way.
Well, let's hope they all look directly into the camera.
Yeah, remember Michelle Bachmann?
Yeah.
I just want to say, America... What? Hey, we're over here. America's over here. Where are
I
you
think
looking?
They should all have bottles of water, but really
oh,
big
yeah.
ones.
Right.
They're
That'd be funny.
Difficult to carry. Yeah.
If a funny prop guy put just a giant jug of water.
A sparklet bottle.
Yeah. Just in case Marco
just
Rubio.
Just Marco Rubio. Yeah.
So Marco Rubio, has, if he has some further thoughts after last year.
Oh, and another thing.
It would be funnier if one of them had a camelback. Just a
oh, yes.
Like yeah. in their mouth. Just a, just
a, or a know. Beer hat. You know.
A beer hat. I like that.
Yes, exactly. With Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Uh-oh.
I'm fine. Nobody help me.
Are you still getting over that thing?
Yes, obviously.
Oh.
All right. So, anyway, lots of fun. And a lot of people are talking still about, and a lot of Republican women are saying, shush. About women, all of you.
You
Republican
don't know
men.
What you're talking about.
Yeah.
STFU.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And you can't say STFU without FU.
Exactly.
Oh, God. That belongs on that.
Yeah.
Just everybody that's... This is like all the responses. See, Rand Paul was trying to make what Mike Huckabee said better, and he just made it worse.
Yep.
There's a war on women. Women won. Shut up. By the way, would you like some fun facts?
Sure.
There's a new game on Facebook, Jim, that all the kids are playing.
Mm.
It's called Let's Play Add a Penis.
What?
What?
Sorry?
Let's Play Add a Penis and see what your salary becomes.
Oh.
Female dentist, starting salary $77,000. Add a penis, starting salary $91,000.
Huh. Hmm.
That doesn't sound very winning, duh, Rand. Female architect, starting salary $43,000. Add a penis, starting salary
$52,000. Huh.
It's like magic. Female lawyer, starting salary $50,700. Add a penis, starting salary $55,000.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks, Rand.
Removed balls, you're on welfare.
What?
Oh, God. Yeah, and then who else? Oh, Alan West chimed in, and oh, we
oh
got
God.
A, we got a whole parade of crazies.
Why does he feel oh, welcome to...
I'd rather hear from Adam West than Alan West.
Yes.
Yes. I care more what Batman thinks. By the way, yes, old he's chunk. Defending Huckabee. Alan West says Democrats only talk to women from the waist down.
What?
Crazy.
I can only see you from the waist up.
Right. Well, I know what you're talking to, though. You're only talking from the waist down. I don't even know what they mean. Seriously, Republican men, I'm like, have you? But someone gave the best advice to Republican men. Okay, women can hear you.
Yeah.
There is a nation
and they
of
vote.
Women going, what
and not
the
for you.
Talking about. Okay, because I told you I did some straight woman friend investigative reporting over the weekend.
Yeah.
As I do, I put on my little cub reporter hat.
You stuck a microphone in people's faces?
Been acquainted with the birth control. Exactly, in a while. And so but I was like, does anyone, any woman you ever know talk like this? Does anyone? And she was like, no. No woman has ever sat around going, gee, I hope Uncle Sugar's going to be here soon with my birth control pills.
So I can take a lot of them.
Right, I'm going to planning on having a lot of sex. You're such an idiot, Mike Huckabee. Seriously. Oh, my God. All right, then. Oh, and it's you day, because we have Charlie Pierce, who apparently...
Yes.
The article I was looking at is called The Snowden Effect Continues.
I sent it to
I have that. Yeah, I have that. Do we have to get in the weeds on Indonesia and Australia and what's happening there? And I don't...
Can we just talk about the Angry Birds?
What about...
Oh, if you have Angry Birds on your phone, the NSA is spying on you, apparently.
Oh, I don't have that dumb game, so I'm good.
Spying on you anyway.
What about the game with the pigs? No?
That is
that
Angry
the one?
Birds.
Oh, is that the one? Is that Angry Birds?
Yeah.
All right.
Also, if you have YouTube on your iPhone.
Right. Okay. All right. So I get to read. Actually, one of them is your hate letter from yesterday that was not a hate letter. That's actually a love letter to you today.
Mm-hmm.
So there is, see, everybody listen to me, Chris. We can all just get
so
along.
So what music do I play?
Something in the middle. Daft Punk? I don't know. Someone named Green Footballs, Charles Johnson, tweeted, curious in all the articles based on Snowden's leak, there hasn't been a single one about spying conducted by Russia and China.
Hmm. Good point.
Hmm. Thoughtful Tim Scratch. That could almost be a life coach thing.
Yep.
Kevin in Chicago. Stephen the Mooks. I would never, ever send a hate letter to Jim. I love him and just disagree. I just hope Snowden catches the clap from some toothless 450-pound Moscow street hoe for what he's done to this country. I do not share that view. And by that, I mean make those like us who agree on 99% of the things start flinging feces at each other. That's what I was saying.
All right.
We're all on the same side. At the end of the day, we must never forget that. No matter what I may think, this country needs Jim and his fellow patriots to always remind us when we as a country are starting to lose our bearings. Kevin in Chicago. Mm-hmm. That was your makeup sex guy. But he's a straight guy, too, so never mind.
Jim Hightower has a good article, too.
Okay. All right, well, I'll save this letter for when you read that. Okay. All right. But how did I know that the right wing was going to lose its over the Grammy
yeah, they did.
Performance of Same Love? The yep. Macklemore?
Oh, wait. Macklemore. Rush Limbaugh commented on that yesterday.
Oh, did he? Okay, so Macklemore, you heard this. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
He sang, it's a song called Same Love. It's the one Madonna came out at the end, and then Queen Latifah officiated the weddings, actual weddings, of 30 couples, some straight, some gay.
Yep.
So, of course, the right wing.
Yeah.
Lost their collective shizzle.
I'm not issuing a stamp of approval about the Grammy show substance. It was horrible.
Oh.
It was despicable. The really demonic performances showed that there is a lot of evil in the world.
Mm. Ooh.
Katy Perry dressed up as a witch
evil.
And was burned at the stake in her act while gay couples were married to the song Same Love.
Oh my God.
And that song openly attacked right-wing conservatives and Christians.
Oh, no. That's evil.
Why would they?
Clutch my pearl necklace. Okay, and that and the most hateful tweets about the Grammy performance, when we continue, it's just, is it bad to be so entertained by this, the fake outrage machine? 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now, 1-800-STEP-1-2. Stephanie Miller.
I just sense I have stuff on my face. No?
No.
Okay.
I thought you were motioning that I had something on my face.
No. Oh, my God. That's confusing, right? It's like a third base coach is on crack.
Oh, God.
No, I'm fine. Okay. I thought I had burrito on my face. Okay. That's funny.
Is that a burrito on your face? You're just happy to see me.
That'd be a funny scene in the movie. It's just like you thought someone else was motioning this thing on my your face.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, my face. Jim? No.
Take third.
Yeah,
whatever
right. Or you have a giant boogie. Either way.
Well.
All right, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right, by the way, I was going to say, this is wrong to be happy about. Chris Christie's political future appears to be toast. I like toast, Jim.
I like toast. Not that kind of toast.
He can still recover, but...
I'm always right.
Okay, yes.
You might want to load the Liar Canyon.
Canyon?
I think I lived in Liar Canyon once.
Every canyon in L.A. is Liar Canyon. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to lose you. I'm going into a canyon. more Americans believe he is lying.
You're a bald-faced liar.
Right.
A f***ing liar.
Right. That's exactly what most respondents said.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Regarding the bridge scandal, according to the latest NBC Wall Street Journal poll, 22% of Americans view him favorably, down from 33% in October.
What's it like to be a liar? Huh? Do you like being a liar with pants constantly on fire?
Ooh, and that's a bonfire, because those are big pants.
Toasty, toasty,
we're toasty. Big pants, people.
Gotta bring in the C-130s to drop boron.
Oh, come on.
All right, just send your mail to Jim. Sorry, it really is a temptation. It's hard to avoid. And you're right, we should not be making fun of him for that at all.
No, just for him being a douche nozzle.
Right. Right, exactly. Okay, let's move on. Oh, the most hateful tweets about the Grammy performance of Same Love, which was featured just
people
I,
getting
love,
married.
Kind of love.
Yeah.
That was kind of the point. It's the same love. Gay people, straight people. It was very festive. Very. But Keith Urban cried.
Yeah.
He's a country singer, for God's sakes.
By way of Australia.
Whatever. My point is...
Doesn't get much further south than Australia.
Well, that's true.
It was touching. Okay. Give me some music for the most... we just need something. I guess they're hate letter. Hate tweets. Yeah, this is...
Tweets.
Social media has just made hate so much more instant and accessible.
Just call them tweets.
Remember when people had to scroll out those angry hate letters? Magic markers.
I had to open those, those envelopes.
To whom it may concern.
But you got to figure a percentage of those gave up after they're like, oh, I don't care. She's a Sea Org. I'm not going to waste a stamp. I'm just saying, a lot of people, because they wouldn't waste a stamp on you.
Right.
Now with tweeting, just write, bing, send. Marriage equality supporters around the globe cheered as 33 gay and straight couples said I do during Macklemore's performance of Same Love at the 56th Annual Grammy Awards.
Mm-hmm.
However, several anti-gay bigots flocked to Twitter. Sort of like the birds in Psycho. And it's like homophobic birds in Psycho. And one of them pecked Suzanne Plouchette's dead eyes out.
In Psycho? The movie was called
Birds.
The Birds.
The Birds, right.
You know, the birds are taking a
shower.
And
here.
Then
the birds are taking a shower.
In all the right, phone
I got
booth.
The wrong, you know what?
And
just, wow.
Or was it in Bob Newhart that they pecked her eyes out?
Yeah.
No, that was in
She
it.
Recovered by then.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, they were saying the, that it mocked traditional marriage, Christianity, and family values.
Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm.
Oh, someone named Buster, whose name is...
Buster.
A guy named Buster.
Said who you are, what you do?
Tweeted, total mockery of God! On the Grammys tonight, the world has gone gay mad! And it's sickening! Gay mad? Is I guess he's saying, is everybody
and
gay?
No one was offended by...
everybody gay! Gay mad!
By Jay-Z and... Beyonce.
Right, that was pretty straight.
Didn't you show a little nip?
Well, it was just it's talking about doing it constantly all night long.
Right. 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 Yeah,
but
I think
straight.
Just the Jay-Z and Beyonce things, you know, balanced out the gay.
Yeah, that's
true. That was a little too straight. That was, wow.
Oh, huge bucket of straight right there.
Yikes.
So that should have.
They were having marital relations right there on the stage,
yeah,
practically.
Much.
Oh, won't someone think of the children? Okay, oh, someone's apparently a doctor. To play one on Twitter.
Yeah. Anybody can say they're a doctor on Twitter.
Shame on you. Grammys is supposed to be a family-friendly show. It was disgusting and sick to have gay marriages.
Grammys haven't been family-friendly for a long
Not
time.
Not since J-Lo appeared in that.
Yeah, when did that start? When did the Grammys start becoming family-friendly?
In that dress?
Really? Said, let's see. Someone named Nene said, Grammys are pathetic. I boycott from now on.
I'm sure they're really going
to
miss you.
Hulk smash. I. What you couldn't afford, there's. You don't even use it to all the characters. You could.
You're making fun of her gamma ray poisoning.
I boycott. A gay marriage on TV is disgusting and uncalled for. Let's see. Maybe next year on the Grammys they can perform mass abortions to top this year's disgusting performance.
Yes, because marriage is just like abortion.
Exactly. Okay, that's just disgusting, Macklemore. Honestly, leave America. Why can Macklemore stand there and make fun of my religion, but I can't say anything about how gay marriage is disgusting? Well, you just did.
Yeah, you did. Say it till the cows come home.
The gay cows.
Yeah, nobody's keeping you from saying it.
Even the gay cows. There's gay cows, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Moon girl.
Up. Oh, Brian Fisher, our religious friend guy. Heads up, Grammy telecast to feature sodomy-based wedding ceremonies. Oh, hey, thanks for the heads up. Mm, did you mean that in a gay way? I bet you did, Brian.
Seems rather familiar with them.
At the, Grammys tonight, a marriage ceremony of gay lesbians is planned. Please pray the Lord will intervene. Hashtag, please intercede. You know what? I don't think God
reads
listens to hashtags. Hashtag please intercede. I think that just pissed him off.
He's not going to waste a lightning bolt on the Grammys. Come
Clearly,
on.
Clearly, God is pro-gay because he did not intervene. So
no.
There, stupid Deborah, whoever you are. Okay, 29 after the hour. David Schuster next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I've never been called fierce before. Strident, hectoring has been tossed around.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. I'm still paging through my most hateful tweets about the performance of Same Love, Jim, at the Grammys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that is just my feeling, is that God does not take kindly to hashtag commands. So that's, I think, why he did not intercede and stop the gay weddings at the Grammys. Hashtag please intercede. Sorry, Deborah Woods, whoever you are. That did not... God, apparently a homo lover, or else he would have hashtag interceded.
Oh, well.
Just saying.
Yeah.
And my favorite one, just before we finish here, is from Dalton Glasscock.
Sorry, what?
Swear to God. He is actually, if you'd like to reach him, at D. Glasscock.
The Glasscock.
Right. Okay. I don't care if they're gay or straight. This is wrong. Well, obviously you do care, or why would it be wrong? Quit shoving your leftist agenda down my throat. Enough is enough.
You know, not all gays are leftists.
Yeah.
Well, he's oversensitive, being a Glasscock.
That was the name of one of Jethro Tull's bass players, actually.
Right.
John Glasscock.
Awesome. Okay. Hey, guess who we haven't talked to in a while?
Who?
Back since the current TV
days. For current TV,
what?
Our good friend,
Al Jazeera.
David Schuster.
As if Tuesday isn't exciting enough, David Schuster coming up.
He is the most interesting man in the world.
Good morning, Blue Eyes.
Oh, Stephanie, good morning. No, I think I'm going to change my name to Crystal Butt.
Yes.
David Crystal Butt, that'll be my new name.
Nice.
Good morning, Blue Eyes. I've missed you so much.
Stephanie, I've missed you. You know, the one thing that, whether it's MSNBC, Current TV, Al Jazeera, True TV, whatever it is, one thing that will always remain consistent is my deep love for Stephanie Miller. I am so glad to be with you.
Aww.
I love you. Why is my box not working?
Your box is working.
I love you, David Schuster. It's free speech TV. That's where we are now. And you are at Al Jazeera. How are things over there?
You know, things are going okay. A lot of potential in the organization. I like to sort of compare it to where, say, CNN was about 20 years ago before they started covering a lot of tabloid stuff and celebrity stuff. Just a lot of, you know, there's straight news. There's a lot of resources and reporting around the world, the 70 different bureaus. And, you know, like any sort of startup, it's got sort of its growing pains. But I think the potential is there. And covering a lot of, you know, I've covered more sort of stories in the last 2 months than the last 2 years at MSNBC. So it's just the opportunity to go with camera crews, do interviews, and find the stories been really great.
I was going to say, as someone that's worked at virtually every startup ever in the history of television, I feel your pain. But secondly, I'm sure you saw the clip of your old colleague, Andrea Mitchell, but that is the state of journalism today. She interrupted a congresswoman who was talking about something.
It was Jane Harman, former congresswoman.
Right, but talking about something, obviously, of world importance. She had interrupted with the news that Justin Bieber had just been arrested again.
Yeah, you know, I'm proud to say we haven't done really anything. I don't think we've done anything on Justin Bieber, but it does go to show. I mean, you know, even a seeing journalists like Andrea Mitchell is now being ordered by her executives to cover celebrity news, and the fact that she, and Jane Harman's a pretty powerful and important member of Congress, has got a lot to say on NSA spying and what's going on, and the fact that you would interrupt that conversation because Justin Bieber's making some sort of court appearance. I mean, I don't begrudge anybody covering Justin Bieber. Just, you know, do it, you know, later in the show.
Yeah,
but,
I'm guessing that Alan Greenspan got an earful. Because I'm just saying, when that came in her earpiece, anything to be in her thought bubble. Really? I've got to interrupt. So David, the obviously big State of the Union tonight. And we were saying, is there any better indication that the Republican Party is in complete disarray and that there's three Republican responses? I've never heard of this. Have you?
Yeah, you know, I'm wondering. I mean, it's really sort of bizarre. And usually, I mean, look, it's the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, and the Senate Minority Leader, Southern Republican Leader Mitch McConnell, who decide this. And they didn't decide until just, you know, a couple days ago. And I suppose, you know, the Republican Party is in such a sort of chaos that anybody sort of can claim to make a Republican response. I'm just sort of surprised that Michelle Bachmann's not going to be out there looking strangely off camera in the midst of it and doing a response. it is. I mean, it's weird, and it presents a challenge for the networks and even for us as to, you know, how much of this stuff do we take and which one do we try to take seriously, if any of them. And it, you know, but you know, the one thing that the Republican Party, I suppose, has going for it in a sense is that, you know, as chaotic and mixed up as they are, there's one thing that I heard that they're actually doing that might be fairly smart politically for them, and that is, so there's a lot of talk now about, well, maybe they will pass some sort of immigration reform or give some sort of pathway to citizenship. But the way that the Congress is going to do that is the House is not going to introduce this until perhaps late April or May, after all of the primary challengers have already been certified. In other words, if you want to primary a Republican, you have to register by a certain date. So John Boehner and the Republicans, in order to protect their members, they're not going to bring up this, you know, controversial issue on their side, immigration, until after that date, thereby protecting it. And it just sort of goes to show that even the Republicans are so afraid of their own shadow, so afraid of the Tea Party, that something that they know they've got to do for the good of the country, well, they're just not going to do it until after the deadline in which somebody can challenge them in a primary election. It's pretty crazy.
Interesting. Well, so the official Republican response is Representative Kathy McMorris-Rogers, who's clearly a name hog. That's entirely too many names for one person, followed by the Tea Party response from Senator Mike Lee of Utah, and then Rand Paul, of course, will respond on behalf of crazy people with bad hair. And that one, I guess, is just going to be on, like, YouTube or something, and because I was going to say, isn't there a, I'm not sure what the rules are, but I was going to say, isn't that, to give that much more TV time for a response, isn't there some rule regarding that?
Yeah, I mean, usually there's sort of the idea that it's fundamental fairness. I mean, there's no sort of a rule now that the networks have to take the Republican response, but I think most of the networks, just as a matter of fairness, if they're going to be on long enough, we'll take the official response and then maybe make some mention that of what Mike Lee and Rand Paul are doing. Although I don't think anybody's going to take them seriously. The Tea Party itself has become such a mess. And then who knows what, you know, Rand Paul is obviously trying to run for president to get as much attention as he can, but nobody's really taking him seriously, not even the House Speaker John Boehner and Senator Mitch McConnell. There were a couple of their aides, leadership aides on the Republican side of the House, who were asked about Rand Paul and Mike Lee and just gave a very dismissive, well, you guys do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Like, not even supporting those guys and giving their speech or encouraging us to cover it, just
I'm a little,
ignoring them.
Yeah, David, I'm a little surprised they want to put their dysfunction or disarray, whatever you want to call it, on parade, like, by having three separate responses. I mean, isn't that sort of admitting we don't have a leader, we don't know what we're doing?
Yeah, and it's gotten to the point where there's not much they can really do. I mean, relationship is so bad. I mean, people sometimes think, oh, the Republican Party marchers in lockstep, and in certain issues they do, but there's, you know, Rand Paul doesn't pay any attention to Senator Mitch McConnell or John Boehner, and as much as John Boehner and Mitch McConnell would say, hey, look, you know, this is who we're going to have to deliver the Republican response. Rand Paul's like, well, fine, you do your thing, I'm going to do mine. And there's really no consequences for him. There's not much they can do to say, hey, Rand Paul, you better knock this off, because, you know, Rand Paul, in their mind, has always been something about
reservation. Rand Paul's notoriously, what's the word, prickly. You remember he threatened to quit politics after he was called out on his plagiarism. He's like, well, fine, then fine, I'm just going to go home. I mean,
I think for Democrats in a way, it's a great thing. It's a great thing to have Rand Paul and Mike Lee and some of the, you know, more extremist elements out there, because, you know, Democrats, whenever you think of that, the Democratic Party's got some challenges. Well, at least you look up at the Republican Party is so chaotic that sometimes all you have to do is say, well, look, you know, maybe the Democratic Party's got its issues, but just look up there, look over to the other side of the aisle and how confusing and frightening that party is, and that helps you.
Well, I mean, I was obviously, everybody's been talking about on Rand Paul on Meet the Press, because that was one of the most desperate moments I've ever seen. I mean, that's all they've got against Hillary? Is she can't be president because Bill Clinton got a 19 years ago? I mean, I couldn't believe for those of us like you and I that have covered that, like, oh, there's the picture in the beret again. Really?
Yeah, I mean, again, sort of maybe a sign of desperation, and that ought to embolden a lot of the Hillary supporters. I mean, if that's the best that Rand Paul or any other sort of Republican that's, you know, trying to mount a serious run for president can sort of say about her, then maybe Hillary's even more of a lock on the nomination than the presidency than a lot of us think. There are some, I think, sort of mainstream Republicans who think, okay, well, you know, maybe we ought to give a sort of a sober assessment of Hillary's time as Secretary of State, but that would require too much intellectual thinking on the side of the Republican Party be able to do that. So instead of going there, let's just go to, you know, stuff from, you know, many, many years ago, or Trump up stuff on Benghazi, all the usual, you know, sort of things out of the Republican playbook. And it doesn't work for them. It hasn't worked for them. And at a certain point, and you hear this, you know, every now and then, particularly at big moments of, you know, political speeches or State of the Union or momentous sort of events in terms of the annual calendar of politics, you hear Republicans complain that, hey, our party needs to be a little bit more sort of deep thinking, a little more thoughtful and intellectual. And then you see a Rand Paul or Mike Lee or what suddenly get up there, and it's like, ah, no, forget about it. Their party is not capable of that, and that hurts them.
I thought it was, I mean, you know, smart politically and also as a human that, you know, in terms of Benghazi, she kind of got out in front of that yesterday, right? She said, my biggest regret is Benghazi, because you forget that a very dear friend of hers died along with three other Americans. And, it, you know, as much as they're going to try to use that clip against her, right, the whole what difference does it make? You know, I mean, I think people know she didn't mean what difference does it make that Americans died. She was talking about this, right. You know, 57th hearing.
And there's also the polling that's starting to be done on both sides, Democratic side, Republican side, by potential presidential candidates, you know, testing out with focus groups and themes and phrases and whatnot. And the Benghazi stuff is really, from what I understand, has not been polling very well for Republicans like Rand Paul or others who want to try to use that. That in focus groups, most people do assume that, well, of course Hillary was upset and maybe there was some, you know, maybe the warnings were not heeded, but that's not necessarily Hillary Clinton's fault. And so the Republicans have some pretty clear polling right now that this line of attack doesn't work against her. So they're getting a pretty early snapshot that they need to try something else.
So
likewise, the Democrats are seeing this polling as well. And so you see the number of Democrats.
Well, that's maybe where the
Hillary.
That's where that idea was born.
Was,
right. Yeah. Sorry, David, go ahead.
I was going to say, even people close to Hillary are like, look, if Republicans who want to run for president want to continue to hammer on Benghazi, keep it up. That's only a good thing for Hillary Clinton.
Right. Well, I was saying that's probably where that was born, was in the green room. It's like, you know what, guys, I'm just going to try the Monica BJ. And the fact that and nobody said, Rand, seriously, dude? Really? You're going to? Because I honestly, David, at this point, are any women going to vote for a Republican at this point? I mean, they just won't shut up, whether it's Mike Huckabee or Rand Paul. Everything they do is more offensive to women.
Yeah, well, just wait till you start hearing some of the comments that are going to be made about immigration reform in the next couple of months.
Like,
you know, not enough that they're not getting women. You know, the Republicans got, I think, almost like 23% of Latinos in the last election. I think the way their rhetoric is going and the way that they've been stonewalling any sort of movement of this action, they're aiming for, you know, the mid to low teens. And you just can't win elections, even on a state-by-state basis. You cannot win elections if you're carrying only 15% of Latino vote. It's just possible. So
yeah.
Republicans may be able to hold on to these very safe conservative districts, but as far as winning national campaigns, they can forget about it.
Yeah. Well, at least Chris Christie's career isn't dead. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, no. What did you think of that latest polling? I mean, that part's tough to recover from when you have a majority of people that think you're flat-out lying.
Chris Christie, I think, had some credibility issues to begin with, and I think a lot of people didn't like his very sort of aggressive polling kind of tactics. I don't think it plays very well in Peoria, to borrow a phrase. But and now with people convinced that he's a liar, that he's got something covering it up, you know, the real sort of impact has been maybe not so much the polling, but we've heard from a number of Republican fundraisers and bundlers and all the sort of people that you need to build a presidential organization, who as of 3 weeks ago stopped really doing anything for Chris Christie and taking a sort of wait-and-see approach. And meanwhile, there's Marco Rubio, and there are others who are sort of out there now trying to get a hold of these bundlers and organizers, and suddenly the bundlers and organizers are perhaps available because they think that Chris Christie may be about to implode. And so, you know, for Chris Christie, at a time when he's trying to sort of build up some contacts in Iowa and New Hampshire and build a sort of national organization, these people that he needs to help him are now a bit confused and not sort of sure what to make of it. And it's sort of costing him time and costing him money, and that's sort of making his efforts for 2016 even more sort of more challenging. Because I think a lot of people think, you know, forget, oh, what is it like, the presidential race is a couple of years away. And it is, but this is the time, this winter in particular, is the time when you really start, if you're running for president, you lock in the key organizers, the key strategists, the key money people. And if those people have some concerns about you, it becomes that much harder.
Yeah. I'm not a political expert, but it seems that when Republican governors don't want their picture taken with the head of the Republican Governors Association, there might be some political difficulty ahead.
Yeah, maybe they also just didn't want to be next to the large man in the picture.
David Schuster. All right, David, a pleasure. Please, let's not make it so long next time.
We will, you know, I've gotten the official okay, Stephanie, to talk to you anytime.
Yay!
On a regular basis, and I'm pleased to come on and get myself in as much trouble as you want to get me in.
Awesome. That's what I'm here for. It's my bag. All right. Love you, David Schuster. Talk to you soon.
Love you too, Stephanie.
Right.
Take care.
There he goes. Yes. They still talk about me in hushed tones in the hallways at Al Jazeera.
Do they? A lot of the same people from Current now work at Al Jazeera.
I know. Hi. Okay. They didn't want the lesbian in a baseball hat? Who could have seen that coming?
Well, Al Jazeera's got a big house.
I thought it was a shoe-in. Oh, well. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Natan, how's Panasonic doing with our MaxCam, our SkyCam? They getting right on that? They repairing that up for us?
Almost here, he says.
Okay. Because then you could see that Max is sitting here like an alligator under a moat, waiting for part of my burrito to drop. Ooh, that's a little disconcerting, although he's a handsome man. Okay, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free.
I'm going to bring my cats over, and they're going to walk over all of this.
I'm definitely allergic.
So?
Okay. Carol in Montana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carol.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I've got a question to ask. Do you think this deal with Mike Huckabee and Hillary Clinton was just designed to take the heat off of Chris Christie?
Well, if it was, it's not working.
Party?
Yeah, if it was.
GOP, greasy old.
Ooh. Oh,
pervert.
Pervert. I love that phlegmy laugh. I love a gal with a phlegmy laugh. All right. Yeah, well, nice try. If that's what you were hoping for, but.
Computer says no.
No, polling says no. Oh, by the way, we were reading the most hateful tweets about the Same Love performance and the same-sex wedding is at the Grammy. Did you see this? The Sochi mayor says there are no gay people in his city.
Not a single gay in the village.
No. No gays in the village at all.
Not homosexuals. Not a single homosexual.
Right? It's just like Iran. Remember?
I'm
a dinner jacket, so we don't have that here.
No.
We don't. Antonoli Pakarai, who's not... Is his name?
Is that how you pronounce that?
Alcoholic hacker is in the hot.
He said,
"Hand of flame,
in a wing."
He said, "Gays are welcome at the games."
Oh, good,
sure they are.
Yes,
in the most patronizing way.
Right,
you are welcome to come.
Yeah, like sort of like a weird, exotic creatures because they don't have that here, so they can get a look see at you because they had never seen one before.
Sure,
yeah. As long as they respect the laws of the Russian Federation and don't impose their habits on others.
Mm.
Your nasty, nasty little gay habit. He claimed gay people do not have to hide their sexuality in Sochi. He said, no, we just say that it's your business, it's your life, but it's not accepted here in where we live. We do not have them in our city.
Right.
Said, I'm not sure, but I don't bloody know them. Oh, so then they must not exist if he doesn't know them.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Because he knows every single person.
I do not know any homosexuals.
There are at least two gay clubs in the city, which must presumably be empty every night and
completely.
Not really even certain how they would stay in business, as there are no homosexuals.
Or they're filled with straight people. Gay clubs
which
filled with...
Which kind of defeats the purpose of a gay club.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that happened. So that's what it is. It's more of a, they're more conversation pieces, the gays. Curiosities.
Sure. Yeah.
Like unicorns or something, because
yes,
they don't have
glass
that there.
Figurines.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, Chris.
Why did Russia choose to have the Winter Olympics in the only major city in Russia that has palm trees growing freely in the parks and the streets? Have you noticed that?
I know. I did not. I just assumed Fox was running the wrong footage again.
No, it just seems like Russia has plenty of... Better places with
for
more
Winter Olympics?
No,
yeah.
For Winter Olympics.
But we have big building full of snow, so when we need snow, we go to a building.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like Russia's very
put
bright.
It on truck and drive to where we need it, even though it is on the other side of Ural Mountains, 1,000 kilometers away.
Mike in Kansas City, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, Steph.
Hi.
Jim and our other furry friends. And by the way, I have three little munchlers that would be tidbits for your... pets.
Munchlers?
What I was going to say is on the Huckabee issue.
Yes.
Seems to miss the formula here. 1 + 1 = 2 to tango. What about the out-of-control male libido? You know, I have experienced in my life many times when my libido was out of control.
Right.
My wife's wasn't. But many times hers was out of control and mine wasn't.
Right.
So there's a word for that. It's called rationalization or something
right.
like
well,
that.
Well, the point is it takes two people to make birth control
tango.
Necessary. You see, because that's what I was saying. What is with just the focus on women, right?
Yep.
As far as I know, like you, it's because men also want to have sex. Anybody, dealer?
So
clear this up for
that's
me?
Why you need birth control.
Oh, I get it
right,
now.
Right, right. There you go. All right.
God.
The Republican Party is, filled with helpers.
Sure.
In the war on women. South Carolina GOP, former... chair, Todd Kincannon. You know this guy?
Oh,
of,
him.
Of the Twitter machine?
Sure.
He has jumped into the fray called Wendy Davis a whore.
Oh,
and he's kind of a loose Kincannon.
To lick my...
Oh, really?
Which is a... it's something men don't have. We'll explain it later. Yeah, he's a Tea Party guy.
Oh,
yeah. Just trying to help. Trying to help.
Uh-huh. All right.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com at the bottom of the hour. Michael Schur of the Young Turks, informally of Current TV. Coming up next hour, we will talk State of the Union and much more. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy. Voice deity Jim Ward or me, Stephanie Miller. Let's see. Oh, it's a love letter.
Oh?
Okay. From Bob. Staff, your new studio is great. So much better than Current TV. Oh, thank you. It's Mama's office. Looky here.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, it causes me to focus on your rack. Oh, my, thank you. That said, it occurs to me you must not realize how many hot chicks watch your show, else you would tape it the night before in your evening get-up. Bob in Naples, Florida.
Your evening get-up is probably exactly the same as your...
Same thing. Yeah. No, as you know from the head of my Facebook page, I normally am in a lace dress and high heels in my bed.
Sure.
Right.
Posing provocatively with my two giant dogs.
Yeah. Thanks, Out Magazine, for perpetuating that myth.
All right. All right. All right. So Charlie Pierce coming up for Jim. This one, a love letter to me from Paul. Steph, I completely agree with you about Snowden. Sorry, Jim.
It's not about Snowden.
I know. So far, the Supreme Court has not said the NSA program is unconstitutional, as Snowden supporters constantly allege. It's also not illegal, according to the Patriot Act. Whatever one may feel about it, those are the facts. And that is true.
The Patriot Act.
It is also a fact that Snowden did steal top-secret documents and did reveal a great deal of classified information. That in itself is a crime. Whatever the court may ultimately decide will not change that. Did he commit treason? Supporters like to say that treason is narrowly defined in the Constitution, and so it is. Article 3, Section 3 says treason against the U.S. shall consist only in levying a war against them or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. Did he adhere to our enemies? It could be argued that he did. Did he give aid and comfort to our enemies? Most certainly. Whatever his motivations and whatever anyone's opinions of him may be, these are the acts of a traitor. In the end, facts matter. I love Paul.
NSA's been trampling on the Fourth Amendment. Now they're going after the First Amendment because they don't want reporters even reporting on what's going on. Unconstitutional.
No, I agree that a lot of those things, and I have said many times that I think we should look at the Patriot Act, and I think we are.
Snowden and Greenwald are not. I mean, that's the, you know, the shiny keys that people
are
supposed to look
at. Don't play Angry Birds. Friends, don't let friends play Angry Birds.
Snowden and Greenwald are not the best face forward for this movement at all.
No, I mean.
Yeah.
But it is a movement that needs to happen.
They shouldn't be the focus of it.
But he is also right that they're not the entire issue. It's just. All right. Bob in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
You know, I wanted to say that your show is so good. The first time that I tuned in, you were sick, and your show is so good.
Because I wasn't here?
Even though you weren't there, I still loved it.
Okay, great.
And it's even better since you're there.
All right. Oh, thank you very much. I enjoy it better without me, too. All right, go ahead.
And now here comes the knife.
Okay. Yes, go ahead.
I wanted to comment on, and I'm a political science author.
Okay.
And my book is, do you mind if I say the name of my book?
Fine.
Go for it.
Yeah, go ahead. Hey, listen, we already mentioned
American Heart of Darkness.
Oh,
okay.
We already mentioned Hitler's charisma today.
Is it self-published?
Self-published.
Yeah.
And what I get into is hidden history and hidden politics.
Mm.
And when you were talking about Hillary Clinton, the caller that called in there, I think the guy was right, but I think he was right, and he said the wrong reason.
Right about what?
you know, I think that this is a lady that is really lacking in character, along
Hillary
with
Clinton.
All the other politicians around right now, Republican and Democrat.
So who would you vote for?
One of the things that
is there
I
anybody you'd vote for?
I'm sorry?
Is there anybody you would vote for?
I voted for. I'm having a blank here.
Oh, sure, okay. Yeah.
So, all right, so am I. Okay.
I voted for Fred Flavenhard.
Dr. Rutherford in the last Dr. election Huffer. Cycle.
Huffer. Dr. Furrier, it's Huffer.
I was reading something about polling info, Jim, that we could tell you, I've told you many times, is bull. Is that they're saying, oh, there's more independents than ever in the United States, people identifying as independents. And they're saying right there, they're mostly Republicans.
Yeah,
they
yeah,
just
exactly.
don't they like don't. The label yeah. for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And they're, hello, I just stumbled across your show. I am an independent. I like to listen to both sides. And then you get that.
Yeah,
oh, by
the
way, who did
Republicans
you vote for
are...
means I voted for Mitt Romney.
Exactly.
And uh-huh. Bush before that.
Yeah, but I'm too ashamed to say it.
No, I didn't vote for Republican or Democrat. I voted for Flangharmanarn. You remember Governor Flangharmanarn?
Yoichi
Flangharmanarn. You remember.
And how did I guess he was self-published?
You're sharp that way. Yeah, there's really no way we could not give someone a book plug today when we just plugged Hitler's charisma.
Exactly.
Someone sent us. Here, hold it up to the camera.
That's charisma. Leading millions into the abyss. They're saying it like that was a bad thing.
Okay. All right.
She was a fabulous dancer.
It's because it's always springtime.
We also got this.
Charlie Crist, the party's over.
That's right. We are actually going to be talking to him.
Yes.
Neat.
Yes. Right, right.
The candles flicker and dim.
Okay. What are his thoughts on Hitler's charisma? Do we know?
Well, we will ask.
He's probably not a fan of the jackboots and jodhpurs look.
No.
No. No one really looks good in that.
No.
Especially in Florida.
No. Right. Too hot. Sticky.
Yeah. Unless you're riding horses.
But. Right. Republicans recovering nicely from their latest stumble in the war on women, courtesy of Mike Huckabee and then Rand Paul. Todd Kincannon, he's a peach. You know who that is?
He's a GOP...
former head of the South Carolina GOP.
Yeah.
He has called Wendy Davis a whore and told her to lick my... You know when someone says it ain't this and it ain't that? Well, men don't have that either way.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. It's in between the...
Things and the other things.
Really?
The jangly bits and the...
Of course.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you had to have two.
Ain't necessarily
that's
so.
That's because you're only focused on women.
It ain't necessarily so.
Okay. At any rate, he embarked on an almost full-day Twitter meltdown.
Oh.
about Wendy. Yes, he's a Tea Party troll.
Yes, he is.
Oh, boy. He regards himself as somewhat of a Twitter provocateur.
Provocateur?
Well, who doesn't?
Provocateur.
Yes. As we know, Eric Erickson... A man so nice they named him twice, has referred to Davis as abortion Barbie.
Yep.
Oh, Bristol Palin chimed in.
Really?
Really?
She said Davis is pathetic and proof positive that feminism is a farce. See, because she's a Harvard-educated lawyer, there's probably going to be a governor one day, and
yes.
Bristol Palin is...
An unwed.
Unwed mother.
But she had a reality show, so...
Mom.
Oh, so that gives her some gravitas.
And...
Right, so that's not pathetic. That's feminism there. Okay, the sexist accusations and insinuations have gotten so bad they inspired one Texas Republican to come out in Davis's defense. But look, his Twitter account's been suspended. You got to do some stuff for that to happen, don't you?
Yeah, you got to be malicious.
Oh boy, let's see his first tweet. Wendy Davis has done even more to damage modern feminism than Monica Lewinsky playing human humidor with Bill Clinton in the Oval Office. Let's see. Wendy Davis stimulates the knee pad economy and a lot of penises. Is he like, eighth grade?
Sounds like it.
I wonder how many knee pads she went through at Harvard.
What an idiot.
And this is a leader of the Republican Party?
Yeah, good luck getting any female votes now.
Yeah.
Wow. Jeez.
Former Congressman Alan West defended Mike Huckabee's comments.
Of course he did.
Huckabee in the wind.
Asserting that Democrats want the government to be the sugar daddy and replace men, West said Democrats have been caught guilty as always and are responding by attacking Huckabee. He then went on to claim that the left remains utterly silent when women like Malala are abused and attacked by the Taliban. Really? I think the left had a lot to say about that, along with most people.
She went on The Daily Show.
And made Jon Stewart cry, actually, because of her story.
She's amazing.
Before declaring that, I'm going to be very blunt, the left tries to win women's vote by talking from the waist down.
Yeah, blunt and stupid.
I am a Democrat. Can I talk to your vagina? Is it home? Oh, boy. All right. Wow. So that's their damage control on the whole war on women.
Yikes.
Thing.
I'm feeling pretty good about the next election.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. As I was saying, Tommy Christopher, our buddy over at Media, said the same thing. Everybody is just struck by Rand Paul, too. Rand Paul says Dems are warring on women because Hillary kind of got a BJ. She did, because he's kind of said, I don't know, he can't tell the difference between, you know, what do you call it, Bill and Hillary.
Sure.
Tommy writes, how desperate are Republicans to solve their problem with women? Desperate enough to argue there's no war on women except for the one that then-President Bill Clinton conducted on intern Monica Lewinsky, and which continues to this day because Hillary Clinton somehow also got in the Oval Office, if you really think about it.
Huh?
That's basically what... Oh, do we have Rand Paul? Is that what you're... Okay, yeah. Yeah. Rand, this is on...
Someone who takes advantage of a young girl in their office? I mean, really? And then they have the gall to stand up and say Republicans are having a war on women? So, yes, I think it's a factor. Now, it's not Hillary's fault. And,
but it should be an issue.
But it is a factor in judging Bill Clinton in history.
Bill Clinton's not running again.
No. Right. And Bill and Hillary are not the same person.
Right.
They realize that, right?
Right.
And Monica was an adult at the time.
Right,
by the
exactly.
Way.
Because like Bill Clinton had consensual sex 19 years ago, pardon me.
She wasn't 12.
Yeah.
She was 21.
Yeah. And your recall was like flashing her thong at him. And,
That's
not an excuse, but.
No.
But,
no.
But she bore some responsibility.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. Wow. So, yes, Tommy Christopher writes, yes, it's sure tough to tell them apart, especially through Hillary Clinton's mountain of extra scrotums.
What?
He's just joking because he's like, oh, well, there's really no difference. I can't tell them apart, Bill and Hillary.
Right,
so it's the same thing. So if he did it, she did it. You know.
Sure.
That's kind of funny, actually.
Okay. 18 minutes after the hour, we roll along. Michael Schur from the Young Turks coming up and Charlie Pierce as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to State of the Union Day, everybody. For other political geeks like me.
That's right.
Partay. 1-800-STEPH-12.
You lie!
Oh, I'm sorry. You were just channeling Joe Wilson? Okay. We'll see if anyone yells anything at him this time. Okay. You know what? Speaking of entertainment kids, we haven't heard from them in a while.
From Ohio. It's the John and Pam Show. It's the John and Pam, John and Pam, John and Pam Show.
Good morning, kids. Hello, John and Pam.
John. Good morning, sweetheart.
There
Good
you
morning.
Are.
She's on her rant.
Uh-oh.
What you got this morning, Pam?
Well, to start with, we're freezing our woobies off out here.
It's
honey,
cold.
It's 6 below.
Yeah, I already instructed Travis, please don't answer the phone. Oh, my God, it's 80 degrees out here because then people just hate us more.
He told me that, and I said, oh, I didn't want to hear that, sweetheart.
I will punch him right in the cup for you.
Oh, you go, well, now he's a sweetie, too. I love him. I love all of you, though. You know what? Now, I'm getting pretty darn sick and tired of this stuff. They keep trash talking about Hillary, and then they want to bring Bill into it and Monica. Now that she was of age,
right?
She knew
and
what she was
by
doing.
By the way, the other thing, Pam, did you see Rand Paul said, "Oh, I just think the media gave him a pass." Huh?
They're
Yeah, there was, you know, because there was never any coverage of it in the media, and he was impeached. What do you mean he got a pass?
I know, he didn't get nothing, and you know what? He didn't get no pass, I mean.
That's right.
But you know what gets me is, okay, why is it, oh, we want to pick on Bill, we want to, Bill Clinton isn't running for president.
Right. That's right.
And they trashed, look how they trashed Barack Obama.
Yeah.
You know why they did that. Now they're going to do it the same thing to Hillary because she's a woman.
Yeah.
This country needs a woman to run this country because I'm going to tell you something. She'll run it like she does a home.
That's right. Country. Pam said country.
The United States. You knew what I meant.
Well, honey. No, you kind of said the first half of country.
We'll save that for the right wing show.
Yeah. Lord have mercy. I've been all wrapped up this morning. I told John, I said, I'm calling. I'm so ticked off. And it just, it's okay for the Republicans and Chuckabee to get on there and do whatever they want to do. Well, if they got such a brainy idea, who are they going to run for president?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the problem is that it's this desperation. I think it's Chris Christie's implosion. I think they're, but I'm like, good, have Mike Huckabee and Rand Paul keep talking. And then, oh, we had a caller yesterday that blamed Hillary for, you know, the infidelity. I'm like, oh, well, you may not even get a single woman to vote for you.
Oh, no. And then you got Huckabee on there talking about all that, about how women are this and women and, Ron Paul, well, let's see how many women they get to vote for them.
Exactly.
Ain't none of them, because I'm going to have me vote for Hillary Clinton signs all over this town.
All right, good
and
for you.
And I'm going to have my front yard plastered with them.
Don't poke the Pam Bear. That's one thing we've learned here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's right.
Sue in Rockville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue. Nice family pics.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so sorry we came back. It's a warm 10 degrees here.
Yikes.
Yeah.
And I love John and Pam. Hi, Pam. Listen, do not discourage these right-wingers from talking. Every time they open their mouths, they just give us more votes. So,
oh, listen, you know, just yesterday's call alone, I felt dozens of Hillary votes just when I said, why, tell me more, Billy from Texas.
Well, I think we should definitely look at the past. Joe Scarborough said that Hillary can't talk about women's issues because of Monica Lewinsky, and I say, let's talk about the dead intern in Joe Scarborough's office that was never properly investigated.
You are so rude to bring up the dead intern.
But if he wants to go there, let's go there. Let's talk about David Vitter's diapers. Let's talk about all of the Republicans who got a free pass who never were properly investigated. You want to go retro? I'm happy to go retro with
and
you.
And I, you know, just for fun, Google all the quotes of all those guys, including Diaper Vitter, about Bill Clinton during the impeachment. Yeah.
You know, the stupid, it just burns at this point.
It burns!
Stop! Okay, Sally Cohn wrote a great piece in the Daily Beast. Dear GOP, stop talking about women's bodies.
Yeah.
I think they should just hush. That might be good advice. Just shut your pothole. Mike Huckabee and Rand Paul think women have out-of-control libidos and like playing the victim. Did they not learn anything from Todd Akin? Perhaps it's time for Republican men to stop talking about women's bodies and choices. It just doesn't end well.
No.
And, trying to help. She says, never mind the fact that the birth control mandate, there's this, by the way, that's been lost in how ridiculous what he said was. Never mind the fact the birth control mandate under Obamacare doesn't involve government giving women anything.
Right.
But simply requiring that private insurance companies include access to birth control as part of their coverage that women pay for privately. Never mind the obviously offensive dog whistle-esque racialized characterization of our federal government currently headed by a black president as Uncle Sugar. And for the sake of argument, never mind the oversimplification of the war on women, which is in reality is just as much about Republicans attacking reproductive justice as attacking paid family leave and refusing to raise the minimum wage and downplaying rape and plenty more. Which, by the way, the president's going to announce an executive order tonight to raise the minimum wage for
federal contractors.
For federal employees. He obviously can't do it across the nation because, you know,
it's
dictator
illegal.
Hitler.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. But she just she said, if you're using the word libido and women in the same sentence in 2014, you're losing. The GOP will have a much easier time talking to women once they realize that women can hear them.
Yeah.
Even prominent conservative women took to Twitter, she said, to denounce what he said. One said, some GOP men should really just stop talking about women's issues. Conservative Dan Reel said, Huckabee is entitled to have what he said reported accurately, but he's still a tone-deaf hole. Those are conservatives.
Yeah.
All right, 29 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Don't think twice. It's understanding that makes it possible for people like us to tolerate a person like yourself.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Tuesday.
There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Pierce. Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Happy State of the Union Day.
Happy State of the Union Day to you, sir.
What's the state of your union?
We are fine. Why does the Republican Party want to put its disarray on parade by having three separate responses? And
the Rand Paul one doesn't count, right? I mean, that's the modern equivalent of getting in one of those glass booths that used to be at record stores and making like a little record for your friends, right?
Right. It's only going to be on YouTube, right? And then emailed to his supporters or something.
I mean, I think it's a more interesting question why the official response is being given by a woman who voted against the Lilly Ledbetter Act, but that's just me.
Yikes. And then Mike Lee will be the...
Then Mike Lee will explain the Constitution to us because he's a scholar.
By the way, I too share your, I cannot believe, because you are such a helper, that the Sunday shows will not listen to your rules, particularly the 5-minute rule as it regards the extended Paul family. Including Crazy Uncle Liberty and, of course, Senator Aquabuda. So in case you haven't heard what that is, it holds that you may take what they say seriously for precisely 5 minutes, but at exactly the 5:01 mark, they will say something so off the charts, wackadoodle, that one has forced to back slowly away from the whole idea of handing any kind of power to these people. Obviously people are focusing on him bringing up Lewinsky, but he said a bunch of crazy stuff, didn't he?
I was absolutely stunned, and I can't tell you how much I want to relitigate that.
Yes. Campaign. Yeah, because that wasn't talked about enough at the time, I thought.
Well, the most remarkable thing wasn't that he brought it up, it was that the president had been given a pass on it.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah,
I mean,
I love that.
Does this guy have any idea how many media careers, including to an extent that of David Schuster, I might add, were made in the pursuit of Bill Clinton?
Yeah. Chasing Bill Clinton's penis around the Beltway.
Exactly. Well, even before that, with the phony Whitewater stuff and the MENA airport and the death list and
Vince Foster,
the Travelgate and what was the other one? Cattle Futures Gate and the Gate.
Gate. Yeah. Yeah.
Cattle Gate.
But as you said, I can guarantee you there were high fives all around the sandbox in Aqueduct Buddha's home office when some bright young staffer thought of the idea of answering Uncle Sugar by relitigating Lewinsky. Because
you have to know that somebody got a raise behind that one. And believe me, this guy's not smart enough to realize he made a mistake. He's going to keep doing this.
Yeah, I mean, it just, I think my mouth is not normally agape during Sunday shows, but I really was like, wow, that's why Hillary can't be president? Because 19 years ago, Bill got really? But I mean, that's just more desperation, I think, of where they are right now, right?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote this actually for the magazine a while back. You've got an entire generation of politicians and, unfortunately, political journalists. The formative, you know, there was one generation whose formative experience was Watergate, which was an actual terrifying scandal.
Right.
Then there was another generation whose formative experiences was making excuses for Ronald Reagan. And now there's an entire generation that's grown up, and their formative political experience is the pursuit of Bill Clinton over Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah.
And that this is what shaped their view of the relationship between politics and the people and politics and the press. And when Hillary runs, it's all going to come back again. Except in a zillion different ways, because there are, you know, tremendous, you know, thousands of new venues for it.
Yeah. Well,
plus Benghazi.
Right, and also Benghazi. Which, by the way, here, play that for Charlie. I don't know if you heard it, but I thought interesting that she took that head on yesterday in this Hillary speech.
My biggest, you know, regret is what happened in Benghazi. It was a terrible tragedy. You know, you make these choices based on imperfect information, and you make them to, as we say, the best of your ability, but that doesn't mean that there's not going to be unforeseen consequences, unpredictable twists and turns.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, as you've said, I don't know how
And you can only do so much when the president is a member of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Right.
Exactly your point, Charlie. Interesting, too, though, you mentioned him talking about Edward Snowden as well. I mean, you just think, like, you can tell this guy's clearly running for president because which side of the issue is he on? I thought he was the big, you know, anti-
Well, the one thing to remember about this guy is he's not very bright.
Yeah, well, he said he needs to find...
And he's certainly not politically adept. He knows 9 or 10... This is why I enforce the five-minute rule. He knows 9 or 10 buzzwords that will get him to about the five-minute mark. But at that point, you know, at that point, you can watch him go off the diving board.
Yeah.
I mean, you can hear the fluttering of the index cards in his head.
You said at any rate...
Hang on. One second. Oh, yeah, this part. Okay.
You said he needs to find smarter people to plagiarize from, at least.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah. Speechwriters have to find, you know, better people to steal from, absolutely.
Right. But he said, Snowden, he said, you know, I don't have details to, you know, what the situation is there. I think it's complicated the way history will treat him because it's a little hard over there in Russia talking about privacy and the Bill of Rights in a country that has persecuted journalists and doesn't really have the same degree of freedom that we have in our country. So
yeah,
it has complicated
hey,
anyway.
Jim?
But and he said he should be punished.
Jim, all together now. It's not about Edward Snowden.
Exactly. Yeah, it's about the NSA trampling on the Fourth Amendment and now the First Amendment, saying that the press can't even report on what's going on.
Of course not, because it's secret and they're keeping us safe.
Right, and we'll be safe in a prison somewhere.
And because if we're not careful, Indonesia and Australia will go to war.
Right.
Listen, that's way too in the weeds for me, whatever's happening there. What do you think the president
Australia almost went to war on Australia Day.
Right.
Wow.
Which would have been really cool, actually.
Right, they. Do you think, Charlie, the president's going to talk about this at all tonight?
Talk about what?
NSA stuff.
No, I honestly don't. I think he's given his big speech on it. He'll mention it in passing. But I think, I know what I wanted to do is I wanted to go full Cromwell in the Congress, but he's not going to do that.
No.
It's going to be ladders of opportunities and enterprise zones and some executive orders, and the thundering of the jackboots will get louder and louder from the other side.
You're right.
But
well,
I think he's likely to give the NSA a good leaving alone. As I said, he gave his big speech on it a couple of weeks ago. There's not a lot more he can say.
I don't know if you saw that Gabby Giffords is going to have a spot that airs within the State of the Union, and I thought it really is sad to me that, of course, last year was this very emotional plea for, sensible gun control that 90% of Americans supported, and we didn't get that done. And it is a little sad a year later. What can he say that we can actually get done?
The president failed in his leadership.
Yeah, right.
Which I find hilarious, by the way.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's what's a little sad is you think, you're getting ready to give another one of these things. Like, what is possible in today's Washington to get done if you can't get some?
At this point, nothing. I'm absolutely convinced of that. You've got a self-financing and immune from political consequences opposition that is willing to commit vandalism on the political commonwealth in order to get what it wants. There's no moving it. I do not believe there is a single Republican of good faith in the Congress right now. I really don't.
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen any indication that there is.
Well, and by the way,
we have a great bipartisan compromise today on the farm bill, where the people on food, the Republicans don't get all the food stamp cuts they wanted, but the Democrats give up more. The Democrats agree to more than they wanted, and that's the way things get done bipartisan fashion in the government now.
Well, and also, as we're sort of joking about the Hillary thing, but you've seen the latest Chris Christie poll. I mean, he's imploding, as I think we thought he would. The latest poll basically shows people think he's lying. I mean, and I think that's like driving their desperation even more about the Hillary.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm still not convinced Christie won't be an enormously viable, viable candidate the next time around. I mean, unless there's absolute proof that he was involved in this, I think he's still going to be around because there's simply no one between him and the crazy people.
Yeah. Well, there's not much on the bench.
I mean, there might be.
There's not room for much else.
Scott Walker, but he's got the same problems Christie does.
Yeah.
Back home.
Well, there's not much room on the bench once Chris Christie is on it. But my
Stop
point,
it.
What? He started
it. No. Actually, the problem with the bench is one end of it goes up in the air.
Yes.
Right, exactly. It's more of a teeter-totter.
Yeah.
Charlie.
Like a Little Rascals short.
Oh, God. Piece in the Washington Post, Hillary Clinton supporters got a head start organizing, you know, in Iowa. But a lot of people are saying this really is unprecedented how early this is and how, you know, you've seen all these PACs have already come out in support of Hillary. But, you know, you and I were both there. We saw what happened last time and how bitter our primary was. And, boy, do I remember it.
Yeah.
And you wonder, I mean, first of all, is your friend Elizabeth Warren going to run? Because that's
no.
No. I don't think so either.
No, a thousand times no.
That's what I keep saying.
Stop writing that.
Yeah. That's what I keep saying, but people keep trying to, you know, gin up a fight already and go, oh, the liberal left, they're going to get behind Warren and there's going to be a fight and, you know, Hillary. And I'm like, oh, no. Like,
I mean, I will grant you that I have absolutely no idea who else is going to run for the Democrats. I mean, I guess Martin O'Malley's a possibility.
Right.
And, you know, Uncle Joe Biden, but.
Andrew Cuomo?
First of all, I think it would be really great if the two parties would come to a bipartisan agreement to ignore Iowa.
Right. Yeah.
Please.
I mean, if you want to start in New Hampshire, which is silly enough, at least it's a primary.
Right.
Now you're out there, you know, everybody's going to go trooping out to the Corn Dog Festival again.
Yeah.
And for that useless straw poll.
The corn dogs was worth it just for the pictures of the Bachmans eating them.
Along come the caucuses, and nobody will understand who won for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
I was, you know, in any case, approximately as representative of the entire country as freaking Moon is.
You're absolutely right.
If it was up to me, I'd ignore Iowa, but that's just me. There's a lot of impetus among the people who support Hillary Clinton to preempt the primary process.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They got caught flat-footed last time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think they're trying not to this time.
Yeah. And I the more Mike Huckabee and Rand Paul talk about women, the more they're helping her, right?
I would think so. I mean, you would hope so, but I mean, there seems to be a market for that sort of thing. At least within the Republican Party. I don't see anybody of substance standing up and flapping back at them.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, let's keep talking. Charlie, great stuff. We will talk to you post State of the Union.
Week.
All right, honey. Love you.
See
you. There he goes, Charlie Pierce, Esquire.com.
Yep.
46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human Prozac. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to
the what?
Left, right, something. 51 minutes after the hour. Michael Schur of the Young Turks coming up next hour.
Mm-hmm.
Linda in San Antonio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Linda.
Hi. First, I just want to say thank you for keeping things positive because the news can get so depressing.
Thank you.
We're
happy to fill all your happy, clappy news needs.
Well, I'm glad you're happy to do that. One thing I was thinking about is Huckabee was saying during his speech that he wants women to be everything they can be. He really supports women. And I thought, you know, if all the women whom he knows in his kind of upper class media echelon circle.
Right. Yeah, I love the news that all the women in his family are doing so well. Okay.
Right.
Well, thanks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, none of those women would be where they are today if they did not have access to birth control.
Yeah. That's right.
Because they would all be raising babies and having families. And the point is that women who can't afford it need to have it so that they can do all those great things that he believes that they can do. And, you know, besides the ridiculousness of the libido and all that craziness, he's totally false. And he has absolutely no idea what birth control is actually used for. It's like he wasn't around during the 60s, and I wasn't even around during the 60s, and I know more about that than he.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think it's like he didn't realize that that's even more offensive. Sort of the implication is, oh, all the women in my family are doing great. If you're not, you're a loser. It's like, well, not everybody's born into a doctor's family, right?
Yeah, but that's how Republicans think. I'm doing fine, and so should you. And, you know, they have no relationship to the idea of, you know, walking in somebody else's shoes, trying to think, what would it be like if I didn't have you know, my dad was a dentist. My dad hadn't been a dentist, and if he hadn't had, and, you know, what would my life be? Wow, I might really need some help. So I really want to help others. I don't even know how that, how a brain cannot track that far.
Yep.
But theirs is unable to do that.
Yeah, exactly. I was talking about, yeah, this piece in the Daily Beast saying the same thing. Huckabee, let's see, it's not a good sign when you're even turning off the most fervent conservative women in your own party, not to mention the 80% of women in America, who've had sex and used the birth control pill. Yeah, and he can characterize the whole thing, the war on women, as basically a joke, accusing women of playing the victim, which, I don't know how he thinks this is helpful. Also, Senator Paul insisted that if there is a war on women, women are winning it. And as I was saying earlier, in the Facebook game, add a penis.
Yes.
And see how much more you would make.
Right.
It's the let's add a penis game.
Hmm. So if I had two, I'd make much more.
Right?
Money.
Okay. I'd pay you double if you had another one, Jim. Just for the freak value alone.
Maybe I should look for some doctors.
Huh. According to a study from Duke University, that's your alma mater, Rand. Women doctors still earn on average $12,194 per year, less than their male counterparts, even when all the other factors are the same. The American Bar Association, the women at the nation's 200 top law firms, women partners earn just 89% of what their male counterparts earn. I mean, this is a real thing. So to just kind of laugh it off, like, if there's more than women win it, really? Anyway, Sally Cohn goes on to say, the fact the Republican Party is turning off women voters so severely that it's reached a crisis point, the party's actually launched training institutes to teach its male candidates how to talk to women voters and how to run against women candidates. When you have to get help to learn how to talk non-offensively to 53% of the popular electorate, that's a bad sign. Yeah, and then they said part of the problem is how men and conservatives in general heap sexism-laden attacks on women Democrats running for office, and obviously she brings up Wendy Davis. This is horrible. If you've been to the Twitterverse lately, I mean, as she points out, an unbelievable double standard. Because she has a huge fundraising quarter, I think.
Right.
Suddenly Republicans accused her of not putting herself through law school because she had help from her supportive then husband. By the way, can I tell you how many friends of mine put their husbands through school? It's like, this would not be discussed if this were reversed. It's like, well, okay, so what? They were married, so he helped. Like, what? Why? How is that
it's
they made a decision.
A marriage is a partnership.
Right. They made a decision for the kids based on, at the time, what they both thought.
Right.
And somehow she's like a whore. I'm going, wait a minute, what? Anyway, but that's what Sally Cohn says. When's the last time a male politician was attacked for having the support of a stay-at-home wife? Women of all political stripes are rightfully repulsed by the rank sexism with which conservatives are attacking Wendy Davis, which goes to one of the larger issue of tone. It's one incredibly preposterous and antiquated thing when Republicans attack contraception and other gender equity provisions in Obamacare. It's another when they implicitly and explicitly condemn women who use contraception as out-of-control sluts. Republicans are habitually, even compulsively, insulting women's bodies, our choices, and our intelligence. Not a winning formula for elections. Thank you, Sally Cohn.
I like her a lot.
Yeah.
And she just moved from Fox News to CNN, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
thank God.
Thank God. All right.
So they lost the last liberal intellect over at Fox News.
Wow. Bye-bye.
Yep.
Jim in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
You know, I don't like Chris Christie either, but you know what? He lied for political reasons, just like all the politicians do. Just like Obama.
Oh, everybody lies and exacts political retribution on their opponents?
Well, Obama lied when he said you could keep your current health insurance.
Oh,
with me?
No. He did not. No.
I can't. It's a whataboutist.
Wow.
He's of the whataboutist party. What about?
What about that time when the guy did that thing in that place, huh?
What about that? Damn, it's the exact same thing as shutting down a bridge.
Oh, God.
The world's, the nation's busiest bridge for 4 days. That's exactly the same thing. Okay. All right. The president, getting ready tonight, State of the Union speech, of course.
This was from his Vine account, so this is why it's so short.
Oh.
Tomorrow night, it's time to restore opportunity for all.
What is a Vine account?
It's kind of like Instagram, but you share six-second videos with people.
Oh.
They're only 6 seconds, no more, no less.
Okay.
It was the best of times, it was the... Okay.
And then it repeats over and over again.
Never mind. Okay, Jay Carney.
Mindful of Congress's reluctance to be cooperative at times, the president is going to exercise his authority. He's going to use his pen and his phone.
Their reluctance to be cooperative.
Yeah.
You mean or their tendency to be complete holes all the time.
There's that.
Okay. Dan Pfeiffer, White House senior
advisor. These will be some legislative proposals, but also a number of actions he can take on his own. The president will say to the country, he's not going to wait. He has a pen and he has a phone. He's going to use those to move the ball forward to create opportunity.
I got a pen and a phone, too. 1-800-STEP-1-2. I am powerful. Okay.
You're a woman.
Hear me roar. Yeah, right. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Oops, forgot to unplug my home phone. Sorry.
Yeah, started ringing.
All right. My big 1940s telephone over there. Hello. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free. That's what it sounds like, so Grandma can hear it.
I did.
All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Sexy Liberal on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, please. Won't you like us? And also, we, let's see, Madison already sold out, but.
What?
There's going to be a big announcement of where the April show is going to be this week sometime. And also the June show.
Really?
But up next, Phoenix is selling out very quickly, as is Albuquerque Saturday, May 10th. But next up, right in February, yeah.
Please stand by for this public service advisory.
Listeners in the Phoenix, Arizona region, there have been widespread reports of debilitating and toxic disease known as Republicanitis. Symptoms include vomiting, talking points, paranoia, and chronic ignorance. To avoid contraction of the dreaded Republicanitis, medical experts recommend a high-dose vaccination of...
Stephanie Miller.
On Saturday, February 15th, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming to the Orpheum Theater in Phoenix, Arizona. Sexy Liberal favorite John Fugelsang and progressive radio star Stephanie Miller will be joined by the newest addition to the Sexy Liberal Posse, comedian, actor, and voice artist Carlos Alizraki. Tickets are available at phoenix.ticketforce.com. Don't miss this wild evening of liberal laughs. It's your progressive prescription. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, February 15th at the Orpheum Theater. Go to phoenix.ticketforce.com.
Yeah, come on, Tucson, come on down, over, up.
Tucson, you come up to Phoenix.
Right, that's my point.
Yes.
Careful, there's speed traps there.
Oh, yeah, on right? the 10 between
yeah,
Tucson
right,
and Phoenix.
Right,
right near Picacho Peak, watch out.
Hells to the yeah.
Yep.
But still, come on, Chris LaBoy will be there.
I'll be there.
We'll see if we can entice that Jim Ward to come along as well. All right.
Phoenix in February is very lovely.
Valentine's weekend.
Sure
bring your lovely wife, Janiqua.
Hmm.
Juniper Berry. I actually have forgotten her real name.
Janice.
Right! Okay.
Oh.
Juanita.
All right, just for those of you just tuned in, it's because of all the women that like to hit on Jim.
Yeah.
And pretend that they don't remember what his wife's name is. And that's how that started. All right. Oh, a love letter for me from Jennifer. Dear staff, I live in Tyler, Texas. Ooh. Yes, the home of the dumbest man in Congress. You know, because he's kind of a...
Gohmert.
Right. And I must say it's exhausting. Not only must I deal with the never-ending line of skeeters when I go out, I am, like you, from upstate New York. It's hard for friends and family back home to understand what it's like to be a liberal here. They can't believe if you put an Obama bumper sticker on your car, it'll soon be damaged, or a sign in your yard could result in your house being burned down.
It's true.
Wow. Zeke Heil, y'all. Welcome to America. Jenny from Tyler, Texas. P.S., I've attached a picture of one of two beavers who live on our property. In your honor, we've named them Stephanie and the Mooks. Stephanie is one mean beaver. That does look like a mean beaver, I gotta say.
Mm.
Right? And I'm nice.
Nice beaver.
Right?
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Hmm. Hmm. Okay. Thank you for that, Jenny. That was it. Seriously, that beaver was about to attack. That was a mean beaver. Not like, it's like that mountain lion that got photographed by the Hollywood sign out here.
Yes.
They did not like the paparazzi. They're like, mm-hmm. Okay.
Or that bear that was wandering around Pasadena this past weekend.
Stupid bear. Okay, future wife stack, Jim, farting opera singer. Yeah, highbrow and lowbrow.
Absolutely.
All embodied in one person.
Wow.
Have you heard of the farting opera singer?
No, I would imagine Luciana Pavarotti was an expert at that, but I could be wrong.
She's suing her doctors. An out-of-work opera performer suing her doctors shows she's sick and, she can no longer sing without...
farting. Oh, that's bad.
Amy Herbst sang for the Nashville Opera before recently giving birth. During the childbirth, the episiotomy, you know, the thing, right, that cuts tissue to help the baby.
Sure, right.
Get out. Easier. Although the tear was eventually repaired, the lawsuit says she complained she could feel, you know, coming out of her... her vajayjay.
Oh, so and also it would be farting, it would be...
Well, both.
Yeah, the other thing.
And also difficulty...
starts with a Q.
Yes.
And also difficulty controlling bowel movements.
Oh, no. That's bad.
That's a little more than you paid bargained for at the opera. Wow, she just hit a high C and... knee flat above high C, but what? Oh, where'd they get with that?
Get the brown costume.
Yeah. She can only play a monk from now on.
A nurse says the tear never properly healed. Doctor said even reconstructive surgery may not fix the problem. The suit says as a result of her incontinence and excessive flatulence.
Been unable to work. That's not really flatulence if it comes out.
Well, it's both.
The front rather
it's
than the...
It's both.
Listen, it's both. That's as much of that as we probably should play, because as I recall, that gets a little...
graphic.
Yeah, well, I love that the rest of the story, I think, was fine. And that's just
what
got bad.
The rest of the story.
Great, too. Speaking of singers, Queen Latifah will sing America the Beautiful at the Super Bowl.
Yep.
She was born in Jersey, where the Super Bowl will will be held.
It is going to be so cold for the Super Bowl this weekend. They're having a hard time just emptying the stadium of snow.
Yeah.
Because it's been snowing, like, constantly there, and it's supposed to be, you know, in the teens or single digits.
Did we mention it's 80 here?
Yeah, sorry, we also have a horrible drought.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Lake Kachuma is disappearing.
We're supposed to have a little bit of rain on Friday and a little more rain on Monday.
Great. It'll be raining.
Oh, my God.
Rain,
are you really doing that? Is it raining where you are?
I am.
Who cares that it's going to rain in L.A.? Okay.
Well, we do because we're under water restrictions. You're supposed to reduce your water used by 20%.
Oh, okay.
Did you know that?
Sure, I was on that. Okay. A sad one, Jim. You mentioned this yesterday from the Department of No Sherlock. The ex-Marlboro man has died from...
lung cancer?
Yep. Mm.
How did you know that?
Yeah, just a guess. Just a hunch.
Yes, smoking-related disease, quite... he smoked as many as 3 packs a day. However... for the last several years, he spoke out fiercely on the hazards of smoking, doing pub PSAs into the 1990s before he was able to bring himself to quit. It's kind of a sad story, too.
Yeah.
I'm old enough to remember those ads. Remember when they could advertise on TV?
Barely.
It'd be like 3 out of 4 doctors say it calms pregnant women to smoke. Oh, my God. Really?
Most doctors recommend Chestertons for their patients.
Chesterton.
Right. Yeah.
Not a cough in the carload.
Did you just mash together 2 cigarette
brands? Yeah,
Chesterfield and Terrytons?
Yes, exactly. Yes. Chestertons. I was like, what? I'm old, but what the hell is a Chesterton? All right, I knew
and
there was...
of course, Carol cigarettes calm your T-zone. What's the T-zone, you ask? Don't ask.
Isn't that like the oily zone like here?
Oh, I thought it was the place we talked about earlier that's between your...
No, that's your taint.
Oh, shit, yeah.
You're allowed to say that.
Well, that Republican...
Taint necessarily so.
That Republican, former Republican South Carolina chair...
Yes.
...asked Wendy Davis to lick
that
part.
Mm.
Okay.
And you discovered that men have that part, too.
Right. I did not... I thought... Okay.
No.
I thought it meant that... Okay, never mind. You know, we'll talk about that. We'll discuss off the air. You have to draw me a diagram. Okay.
I'm not going to draw you a diagram of a man's...
I haven't been up in them there parts.
I know you haven't.
Here.
That's plainly...
Really?
Oh.
Really?
Well, you thought there was a hole in... an extra hole in certain part lady parts.
Wow.
We're really going there.
All right. Never mind. Sorry.
I want no part of this.
Okay, I knew the Grammys were good for another reason besides the Macklemore performance. Miley Cyrus skipped the Grammys to play Guitar Hero, so there was less twerking. That's what, thank God.
Yeah, but I think Lorde tried to twerk.
Oh, yeah, I had to go on CNN
and talk
about... Or maybe
she's having a seizure or something.
Well...
I had to go on CNN every day for a week to talk about Miley Cyrus twerking and...
And JVM wasn't having any of it.
She's not having much of anything. She is terrifying.
I know.
Okay, tonight, though, for all of us political geeks, big night, State of the Union night.
Yep.
The boner. Ooh, they were scared that the president said he has a pen and a phone.
Ooh.
A black man with a pen
and a phone. Instead of looking to work together, the president this week reminded people that he has, quote, a pen and a phone. I would remind the president he also has a constitution and an oath of office that he took where he swore to faithfully execute the laws of our country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and what does that have to do with having a phone and a pen?
America, make sure there's never again a black man with access to a phone and a pen. Not in your America.
It's only up to no good.
Okay.
I remind you of a seven-color constitution. And you use your pen all you want. I don't care.
Senator Rand Paul also with an irrational fear of pens.
It sounds vaguely like a threat, and I think it also has a certain amount of arrogance in the sense that one of the fundamental principles of our country where the checks and balances.
So he's being uppity by using a pen.
Let's go back to Rand Paul's America where there's no Civil Rights Act. Blacks can't get all their black on you at lunch counters. And there's not uppity, arrogant black men with access to pens and phones.
And
Rand Paul's America.
Why don't I use the same water fountains that we have?
It's a shiny, shiny white America. Morning in America again because of President Rand Paul.
And in his American, you can use a rusty melon baller to...
Right. To do eye surgery.
Eye surgery.
Because let the market decide.
Absolutely.
There's nothing scarier than a black man with a phone and a pen.
Big government wants to regulate things like eye surgery.
I want to operate somebody's eye with a rusty spork. I'm within my rights.
Yeah, America. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right? Regulation, French and gay. Scarier than a black man with a phone and a pen. Okay. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We have to seem like a sexy, profitable company, and we're almost pulling it off.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Let me live that fantasy.
Yes, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Donald in Illinois on the State of the Union. Hello, Don.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
You know, this. When the president gets through with his address, usually they have the Republicans coming on, lambasting him. Apparently, it looks like Boehner is setting the stage for this to happen. Now, will there be any Democrats that will follow after these clowns get on? Because, I hope they're not. I hope they're not the last ones to talk. Because, if they have the last word, it always seems to be the thing that stays in the minds of the American people. Because the American people are, a lot of them are really stupid.
Well,
and
but the only thing, Don, is I don't know how many people honestly stick around, and plus to watch like two. I don't know what the equal time rules are, if there are any anymore.
There are none.
There aren't any more. I mean, because that's what I'm saying. How come you get a Republican and a Tea Party response, and then Rand Paul doesn't get, I guess, TV time? He's just doing it where the crazies go.
Yeah.
to the YouTubes or wherever. I don't know.
The last time he had one, I remember they came on, and it's like it was forever, one after another. I mean, it was like they completely undermined everything he said.
Right, I know. What would go on all night then if we had a reply to the reply to the State of the Union? You know what I say? For some reason, it just seems to be an ongoing train wreck every time there's a Republican response. First of all, you remember Michelle Bachmann's Tea Party response. She was looking at the wrong camera. Bobby Jindal.
Yep.
Remember? In the words of Chris Matthews, oh, God. And that was before he started talking. And then last year, the big gulp. You remember that, well, Marco Rubio and the choke on the water.
I'm Marco Rubio.
Choke on the water.
And may God continue to bless the United States of America.
Yeah.
That was painful.
Oh, God bless Poland Spring and the United States of America. Somebody tweeted me, the GOP doesn't even trust each other to bitch about Obama properly, hence three State of the Union responses. It's so true. Mary in Tucson, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mayor.
Hi, good morning, Mama. Good morning, Moots.
Good morning.
I want to know if you have yet to come up with the official Stephanie Miller Show State of the Union drinking game.
Oh God. We have not.
Mm-hmm.
We ought to get on that. Do you have some suggestions or no? I guess that was it. She'll take her answer off air.
I see.
So we better think of an answer off air.
Every time a Republican says something stupid, take
the
shot.
Then I might get drunk, and that would be Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay. Corky in Rochester, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Corky.
Hello, Steph.
Hi.
Yeah, I want to talk about what happened 30 years ago. They're blaming Obama, but, you know, cancer doesn't kill you as soon as you get it. It takes years for it to eat your body away, just like it's taken years to eat the middle class away. When they started outsourcing, when they reduced the taxes, and they got rid of the tariffs, and they started outsourcing jobs. Look at what happened to Kodak here. We had 80,000 people working in Rochester. We have now 10,000.
Yep.
We had Delco. We had Rochester Products. They're all down to 2,000 and 3,000 people. And Delco is no longer. They sold it to an overseas company. You know, when you allow that to happen and you take away the wages from the middle class, where do you expect them to eat? You know, people like me, I come out of high school. I went right to Kodak and got a job.
Yep.
And I worked there. And then what they did, they screwed the people at Kodak, saying, well, if you take this early retirement, we're going to give you a bridge to Social Security, and we're going to give you your benefits. So the people signed off. And what they do, they say, okay, you're no more benefits. We're not paying those.
It's happening all over the country. That's absolutely right. And by the way, I lived in Rochester. You remember
when
I was Sister Sleaze?
Yes.
And people that worked at Kodak Gym, they remember. They have a photographic memory. And you can't undo.
Really? Isn't Rochester where you...
That is the best I can do, by the way.
Isn't Rochester where you stood in a window dressed in nothing but a barrel?
Right, with Brother Weeze.
Yes.
In some wacky 80s DJ kind of... stunt that
Morning
I don't remember.
Zoo kind of thing.
Don't remember even what the point of that was. I think, you know what you do? You just then you'd say it was for charity, and somehow it made it seem better. Made it seem like less of a doofy thing to do.
I did many morning show things for charity.
Yeah,
It then involved a costume of some sort.
Lederhosen? No, that was
you
the beer
didn't,
garden.
No, that was a, oh, that was your job at Busch Gardens that you had to wear lederhosen for.
Well, yeah, I worked in the German section.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Is there another section of Busch Gardens?
No, sure. No wonder that's why you're in here this morning pushing the author of Hitler's Charisma.
Yes.
Clearly.
Sure. All right. No, that was the Aquitaine section. I worked in Oktoberfest.
Okay. All right. 29 minutes after the hour, Michael Schur about the Young Turks next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you,
Stephanie Miller,
for brightening my last hour.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Yes, because I have a big jangly 1940s phone, as we found out earlier. I forgot to unplug my home phone, right?
I've
all
got
right.
Phones that jingle. Whoa, that's loud.
Hello. Just a minute. Dick, are you in?
I'm always in for Dick.
Not what I hear.
It's an old drop.
We've had that forever.
Yeah. Back when I was.
Yeah.
Okay. My point is, Michael Schur of the Young Turks to talk State of the Union and much more coming up in just a couple of minutes. Oh, Jim.
Hmm?
You thought the NSA was bad. New York's private school parents are spying on each other.
Yep.
The New York Post has a story about the application process at elite New York City prep schools. This is one of the many, many reasons I'm glad I never had children. This is insane.
Wow.
These schools allegedly plant parents on tours to observe how prospective families interact with each other. These spies then report back to school administrators with all the dirt they've accumulated.
Tell me all the dirty.
Now that Rand Paul has brought up Monica and Linda Tripp.
It's all relevant again.
Right. Further, the turncoats relish their spying because it allows them to get ingratiated to the school's power players so they can then put in a good word for their own friends. The Post quotes a woman named Terry Decker telling parents to be on their best behavior. You're being watched by everybody.
Wow.
Oh, God. Really? Just send them to public school.
Thank God everything else about living in New York is so easy.
New York seems like it's a lot of work.
Oh,
yeah. Where's your garbage disposal? We can't.
Yeah, garbage disposals are illegal in Manhattan.
Oh, I totally forgotten about that.
Yeah.
Delight. I remember when I was there with the big snowstorms, and I remember then, so they couldn't do garbage collection. Do you remember this? And so all the rats.
Oh, God, that's
so
right.
So there was an invasion of rats, and then there were hawks that would come and eat the rats. It was Armageddon. It was,
wow.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. By the way, Rand Paul told us.
Of course, in the Hamptons, it's called falconing.
As you recall, I was once invited to go falconing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. With a Kennedy.
Right.
Falconing with a Kennedy.
Yes.
Should be a book title.
Hey, rich people use weird words as verbs.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Antiquing.
I was summering while antiquing and falconing.
Summering. And I told you my favorite, typhooning. I once heard a rich couple say, where are you typhooning this year? We're typhooning in the Panama Canal.
I think it's only tycoons that go typhooning.
Yes.
My friend and I have been doing that for years. Oh, my God, we've totally forgotten where we're typhooning this
year.
Good
heavens.
Oh, no.
Well, we know where Gilligan's typhooning.
All right. I saw all the pundits last night say, besides the fact that her husband got a 19 years ago.
Right.
Which totally disqualifies her from being president.
Right, obviously.
Oh, this thing.
She mentioned that she hasn't driven a car.
Last time I actually drove a car myself was 1996, and I remember it very well. And unfortunately, so does the Secret Service, which is why I haven't driven since then.
Yeah, see, dumbass. She's not allowed to. The Secret Service prohibits her from driving a car.
God.
Dumbasses on the right.
See, she's a top 1% just like me. She tunes us driving president.
You know where else they don't drive cars in New York City? Well, they do.
Yeah, there's the other
some,
thing.
But.
Right.
It doesn't make much sense
she's
to have a car.
She's forbidden to. And they, they're making it into this 1%er thing.
Right.
Who does she think she is?
Well, they've done it with the president.
Well, soon.
No, it's got the big plan.
Soon, possibly, she'll be president.
Right. All right. A lot of people writing about Rand Paul's shaky weekend.
Yeah.
Jennifer Rubin in the Washington Post. This weekend certainly demonstrated that Rand Paul has his work cut out for him if he decides to run for president. First of all, David Gregory trying to nicely bring it up. You know, your father. And he's like, Dad, shut up about my daddy. Hey. Hey. Oh, no, the weird voice is back.
Yeah, what happened?
What happened? Oh, I got this cold. Now I talk like this.
Oh, I believe it was actually a brilliant, I was just sort of imitating what the states would be like that have the nice things in Obamacare,
like Kentucky.
Medicaid expansion.
Rand Paul's Kentucky.
And good exchanges, and the states that don't.
Why can't we have nice things?
Hello there, Kentucky.
Tennessee peeking over Kentucky's border. Ohio looking down onto Kentucky.
Sounds like Stewart.
McDonald's. All right, I don't know how I got off on that. My point is, he said, you've sometimes touched on themes that are out of the mainstream, is how they put it.
Really?
Yeah, it's so like Charlie Pierce's 5-minute rule. You can only listen to a Paul for 5 minutes. You're like, yeah, that's a good point about spying and putting.
But then,
what?
Are you nuts?
Same as his dad. He's repeatedly referred to the tyranny of the federal government. His tolerance of pro-Confederacy views led him to hire and stick by the Southern Avenger, that guy.
Oh.
His extreme views on the sanctity of private property led him to criticize civil rights legislation that tells private businesses that they cannot discriminate. His penchant both for isolationism and conspiracy theories manifested itself when he struck out at pro-Israel Christians, accusing them of desiring war in the Middle East. His praise for Edward Snowden as a Martin Luther King Jr. figure stems from his paranoia about anti-intelligence operations. And then as Charlie Pierce said, he totally backpedaled from that.
Right.
I'd meet the president. Oh, no. He needs to be punished and blah, blah, blah. He will have a hard time convincing skeptics that he isn't simply a savvier incarnation of his father. He is prickly and defensive when criticized, threatening to leave politics when his plagiarism was uncovered. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Then it was, I'm going home, Dad. I'm taking my...
He kind of whined after that.
He now denies he ever questioned the civil rights laws or on Meet the Press yesterday that he had lauded Snowden. It's not clear Paul will try to convince primary voters how he's going to convince them he's qualified to be president. So, we'll see how his response to the response to the response to the State of the Union is tonight.
Okay. Oh, by the way, I have a correction.
Yes.
In 1997, the ban on garbage disposals in New York City was lifted.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
So,
well, thank God.
Shows you how long it's been since I've been in New York.
The Stephanie Miller Show regrets the error.
We do. We do?
Yeah.
Well, you might. I don't really give a... Okay. Okay. Another great piece. Just it would be interesting to see all the different responses to the response,
mm-hmm.
to the response to the State of the Union.
I think they should have 15 responses for each response.
Right.
To the response.
Right. Shouldn't there be separate responses to each response?
Yes. Maybe this should be like tag team. You know, they'll talk for 30 seconds and someone else will run on stage.
Or they could just interrupt. Nuh-uh. If there's a certain point they disagree on.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Sure.
In two or not.
Right.
How would that be different than how the way Republican Party acts anyway, you know?
Great piece in Salon today, how the right destroyed itself. Republicans can't moderate because their base won't allow it. Yeah, everyone is talking about, like, where is this party going? I don't think any of us remember three responses to a State of the Union.
Yeah.
It's really... Brian writes in the Salon, Brian Butler writes, I think it's fairly evident the Republicans' increasing reliance on older, whiter, more conservative constituency has trapped them into a number of non-negotiable policy dogmas, and I think they bear most of the blame for their own circumstances. Yeah, why are you hitting yourself, Republicans? Why? They fuse the low-tax, low-regulation agenda of wealthy elites to the worldview of religious conservatives. Ooh, it's two really bad ideas all mushed together.
Maybe nice. Democrats should respond to the various responses by having someone shout, "You lie!"
Right? Good idea. Just they are. Every they have become
seconds,
a big sort of glob of kind of small government, low tax, homophobic, racist kind of, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Uber Christian.
Nothing has happened subsequently in Republican politics, from the Southern strategy to its enduring 47% mindset, was arbitrary. It was built into both the party's belief system and professional incentives Republicans continue to face. New York Magazine's John Chait argues the obvious solution to the Republican dilemma is to stop worrying or pretending to worry about the deficits and propose financing a few economically populist ideas with higher debt. But this is a good point. The Republicans embraced deficits in the 2000s. Mm-hmm. But it was almost entirely in service of two imperatives that happened to coincide. One, to finance wars, tax cuts for the rich, social spending for old white people, and other Republican-friendly programs. And two, to eventually create an urgent need to crush spending on the poor. And that's true.
Yep.
The only reason they like it is then they go, well, now we got to call these, you know, we got to cut all these programs for the takers is what we got to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we will see. We shall see their responses tonight and talk to Michael Shore of the Young Turks and formerly of Current TV next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's crafty. She counts a while. She's crafty. She's always down. She's crafty. She's got it fresh. She's crafty. And she's just my type. She's crafty.
And we're back. Hi. Steph. We're back.
I am with my handsome man, Max.
I see that.
Everyone can see how handsome he is. Okay, what? What? I'm not distracted in the home studio. What?
Not at all.
So handsome. Okay, 48 minutes after the hour. Listen, we have an important news correspondent, Al Jazeera political correspondent and Young Turk. Michael Shure joins us now. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Stephanie Miller. How are you?
I have missed you so.
I have missed you a lot.
Speaking of handsome and romantic.
And we're in your house. Wow.
Yeah.
Not since election night on Current TV when I made you break the map by touching too many states at once and turn the entire country purple.
That's what put Current under.
Yeah, exactly. But they've lowered the price because that thing didn't work anymore. So Al Jazeera didn't want it.
They would have gotten $600 million. All right.
Exactly.
Michael, happy State of the Union Day.
Happy State of the Union Day. It's always a great day when it's State of the Union Day.
It is for political geeks like you and me, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny because we think that it means so much more than it does. And
right.
Every year we think that.
Right.
And it's we're fools to think that, but it's still exciting. And the real political geeks love the you know, it's our red carpet watching
the
Congress people walk in.
No, I do. I get unnecessarily excited. Even the ladies and gentlemen, the president of the United States, come on, and you love it, and the
right.
music, and come on, it's great.
Right, and then the lead up to when then they introduce him again.
And I love Republicans pretending to be really excited to see him and shake his hand and just,
right.
They look so cooperative.
And the backstory of the people who are there right now, sitting in their seats waiting for the speech, Sheila Jackson Lee, Congresswoman of Texas, always there. Bright and early, just so she could have an aisle seat, and the president will stop and say hello.
Right, right. They're kind of they're like groupies, like the rest of us, right?
Yeah, absolutely, they are. I mean, that's what the House of Representatives is. It's people, you know, certainly the Democrats are now. They love the president. They show up, and they're as geeked and amped up as we are.
Yeah, and I love it. Just the irony is never lost on me when a Republican wants him to sign the program.
Yeah,
yeah.
They will sign virtually no legislation that he will ever propose. But they have got to have his signature on that program.
Right. Yeah. That's a great point, too. I mean, they want him to sign nothing else except the program.
Yeah, I was saying, it's a little sad to me thinking last year we had this really big emotional speech about gun legislation.
Yeah.
And we all thought, if not now, when? And, you know, here we are a year later, something that 90% of the American people were behind background checks still didn't make it. And so tonight, I'm sure you've heard this, Gabby Giffords, who I just got to meet and hang out with in Tucson with her husband, Mark Kelly, there's going to be an ad airing within the State of the Union where she faces the camera and says, Congress is afraid of the gun lobby. Tell Washington it's too dangerous to wait, which I think is pretty powerful and reminds people – what didn't get done?
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. I mean, that's what I was alluding to before, is the State of the Union. I mean, even to dig in, listen, LBJ started the war on poverty during a State of the Union, and it went somewhere. People listened, and it went somewhere. We have now just turns of phrase that come out of States of the Union. Even if you look at last year and you look at what President Obama proposed, not just guns, where nothing happened. I mean, if nothing was going to happen, the combination of Newtown and the State of the Union, then when can it happen? He put the $75 billion plan, you'll remember, Stephanie, to expand early childhood education out there. Nothing happened. And he's got this infrastructure bank that he's, you know, that he's talked about every year. I mean, at least 3 years, that maybe four, that he's talked about the infrastructure bank, and nothing's happened with that. So
yeah.
To me, tonight is just basically the first campaign speech of 2014 to try and win, or at least hold on to the Senate, win the House and hold on to the Senate. But I don't think anybody's deluded into believing they're going to win the House. But he wants to put people on their heels is what happened.
You know, quickly before we move on, this ad is part of, a national campaign that's going to be starting. And it's going to be running on a lot of the cable channels. And it's the group that Gabby Giffords formed with her husband, Mark Kelly, who hopefully we're going to have on the show soon. And I was talking with him about this stuff and just thanking him for, you know, the fact that they are really trying to keep this issue in the public's mind. They're trying to, you know, put money into this. Do you think there will be any mention of any gun measures in the speech tonight?
I don't see where it fits in. I think that he has an agenda that's realistic now in his eyes, that includes immigration, that may include the minimum wage today, as I'm sure you've talked about. They raised he used executive order, but the president can't do executive order necessarily on guns, and that's the way he may have to legislate, with executive order, and so I think he's going to put things out there that he thinks will work, but I don't see where guns sadly fit in. And listen, three school shootings last week and a mall shooting, and we're just numb to it now.
Yeah. No, that's what I was saying. It's becoming a daily thing. When you just, oh, how many people killed there? Oh, only three. You know, I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. Well, Michael, so what else do you expect to hear tonight? I mean, because when you bring up immigration, I mean, what are the chances on that right now?
I think they stand a reasonable chance of getting something done on immigration. The Senate Democrats have rejected everything the House has given them, because the House wants this kind of crazy piecemeal approach to it. They want to have a little bit here on border control. They want a little bit here on federal visas. And the way the Republican House is dealing with it is not as one that you think is going to want to win the presidency, because they seem deaf to it, which at one, you know, politically is nice if your opponent is deaf to an issue that's really important. The practicality of it, though, is that we need immigration reform, and so I think the president's going to put something out there, talk about immigration reform, and make that a sort of legislative priority. But I think he's going to spend a lot of time, Stephanie, defending Obamacare. I think that he needs to spend the next few months turning Obamacare into something that Democrats can run on, House Democrats and Senate Democrats.
And we just hit 3 million people enrolled, right?
Yeah, exactly. And those are big milestones. I don't think anybody's going to believe him if he gets out there and puts a mission accomplished sign behind him on a battleship about this. But I do think that he's going to have a chance to publicly defend it, and then I think that's what he's going to leave town with tomorrow when he goes on his little mini post SOTU tour.
Right,
SOTU.
POTUS SOTU.
POTUS SOTU.
2014.
That's so Daft Punk or something. I don't know. Interesting, though, you bring up immigration, and I know what you mean about the House, the piecemeal approach. It's so that they can all vote for border security and not have to vote for any kind of comprehensive, path to citizenship ever, right?
Of course, yeah. And also, that's their gamesmanship with the Senate, because then they're forcing the Senate to vote against border security. And then what do? Then they go back to their gerrymandered districts and they say, hey, these Democrats don't want border security.
Right. Well, if ever there was a sign that a party's in disarray, it's three State of the Union responses, right?
Right.
Why do they want to do that? I mean, it just seems like it's just admitting we're rudderless. Yeah. We have no leadership. We don't know.
Well, first of all, nothing in American politics is more ridiculous than the State of the Union response.
Right.
I don't know why anyone would volunteer to do the sort of the standard one that Kathy McMorris Rogers is doing, because it's just been, it's either been unwatched or gets a terrible review and
right,
is politically
disaster.
Crippling. The Bobby Jindal, the Tim Kaine, you know, those sorts. But I do think that what you're seeing, like, I think Ted Cruz or Mike Lee's giving it the Tea Party response. I think they look at that and they see that as something that will be watched because it's different and because it shows, you know, the angry side of that party. They don't care. They're not worried about, you know, chopping off their nose to spite their face.
Well,
you know?
That in that sense, you're right. We ought to give them more time. I would say, listen, we will give you as much time as you want. We would like as many Republican men to talk about women lady parts as possible.
Yeah.
What else do you think?
It would be a delight, you know, and that's what, to me, I, again, it further, you know, puzzles me to a degree to, like, why are they bothering, man? Why are they bothering doing that?
Yeah, I know. Well, all we can hope for is that they keep doing it.
Yeah.
Michael, sure, let's not make it so long.
Stephanie Miller, you know where to find me. I love doing your show, and I miss you tremendously and everybody else there.
Me too, you big handsome bear of a
Travis and
slab of political stud meat.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Really?
Wow. Yes.
How
yes,
my
indeed.
Mama raised me.
Love you. Talk to you soon. Happy State of the Union, honey.
All right, you too. Take care.
All right. Love him. All right, that's it for us. I'd like to thank Crystal Boyd, Jim Ward, T-Bone, and Natan.
Director.
He's a director. That's what they tell me in TV land. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.